Good morning, Mr. Burrell.
Hey, good morning.
It's a tough and trying time in Nova Scotia. We all know that. What are your feelings in this moment after you've... I should tell people you're a United Church minister by profession. So
it, I am so.
Yes. Dealing with grief and how to deal with it and so on is not new to you, but on this kind of scale, it must be, is it not?
Oh, look, I think that's true for everybody. You know, all of us in our lives know something about sorrow. You don't get from one end of this life to the other without running into sorrow. And we also in our lives, everybody at some point confronts some real tragedy. But even though that's true, I don't think any of us has a place in our framework or a place within ourselves where we can make sense out of the terrible events of the weekend before last. And so I think that's why it really is a literally true thing to say that we are in Nova Scotia, as a whole people, we are really shaken.
Yeah, of course, we're talking about the shooting rampage that occurred over a week ago. It was terrifying for a lot of people, and I guess the outfall from it is that we're a little bit on edge right now. Do you find that yourself?
Oh, what else could you possibly be? A wise person said to me a couple of days ago that that whole mechanism by which we think of evil and things that are horrible, that we think of those as being at some distance in some other place that we put over there, that mechanism doesn't work for us anymore in Nova Scotia. So it is literally true that we are a province that's in mourning. And I think when you think about how the pandemic, we're in the midst of the pandemic, and the horrible events of the shootings, how these two things have come at the same time, this is really one of those real terrible cruelties of history where two horrors really have been overlaid on one another.
Mm. Speaking of the pandemic, Gary, as a province, are we handling it well?
Well, I think we are very well served in Nova Scotia by our public health authorities. And when I think about how under their guidance, in the space of just a couple of weeks, whole patterns of behavior, norms, people's outlook on the way that the day of the week should be structured, all of this was turned in 180 degrees, as it absolutely has needed to be and continues to be under the strong guidance we've received from our public health authorities. So I think that the people of the province have every reason to believe in the guidance that we're being given and to have confidence in the advice that our experience of the pandemic is being shaped with.
It really is a crisis in our long-term care homes. Should something have been done before this to take care of those people in those homes?
Look, in the NDP, we have been very strong in our voice for the last number of years about issues and concerns we have in long-term care. And I have been very vocal about our concern for issues around long-term care. But at this moment, when our whole healthcare system is focused on fighting the war against the virus in our long-term care facilities, in particular in Northwood Manor, in the north end of Halifax, I don't feel as though it's time for those discussions. What it is time for us today is to focus every thought and wish and solidarity on those wonderful people that are focusing all their efforts to bring the pandemic to bay, particularly at Northwood Manor.
I asked Mr. Houston from the Progressive Conservative Party if the legislature should be sitting. Should it be, in your opinion?
Well, at the moment, the legislative session is wound up. It was completed. Unlike other provinces, the government was given its spending authority in the budget before the pandemic ever landed. So there are things about the oversight that the legislature offers to government spending, the various government committees, that it is necessary to have functioning, and those we have been in touch with the government about how we think those things need to be got up and running over the next little while, and that will be attended to.
Has the Premier consulted with you personally?
Well, I don't know if consulted is the right word, but when this began immediately, we were in touch with the Premier and suggested that he set up an all-party briefing table, and he immediately agreed to that. So we established that together with the Progressive Conservatives, and every day the Conservatives and the NDP and the government meet. We bring to them the concerns that come to us through our constituency offices, and we also bring to them those areas where we think some of their judgments could be improved, and we talk about those quietly and bring forward our points and try to see what we're able to do to persuade them. I think this is the right way for political parties to cooperate in a time of emergency.
Yeah, for the most part, then our political parties have put that differences behind them for now.
Well, I would say in our party, it's entirely behind us. In a situation of national emergency, we wish the government to be every bit as effective as it possibly can in bringing the leadership that's needed. We wish to support them in order to maximize the possibility of that goal and make any contribution that we can.
I know, Mr. Birrell, you don't have a crystal ball, but where do you see this all ending up in the future?
Well, I guess nobody has a crystal ball about that, but there are lots of things that have come into view in the last 6 weeks in a sharp way that surely are going to change our whole society. When I think, for example, about the CERB $2,000 a month checks that the federal government is distributing to so many people, as they absolutely rightly have, well, there's a recognition there that everybody has to have a check in order to survive, and the economy can't survive unless the people have that check. Well, this is a very important recognition, and it's to be hoped that when the pandemic is over, that genie won't go back in the bottle, that recognition will stay front and center in our economy.
You mean, in other words, leading to a guaranteed minimum wage in this country?
About a guaranteed annual income. Well, of course, we have a guaranteed annual income now if you're over 65. That's what the guaranteed income supplement is.
Yes.
But that principle doesn't apply in the same way to people that are under 65. Well, the CERB $2,000 a month checks are really an application of that principle on a temporary basis.
Yeah.
And the good that we're seeing from it in this drastic economic contraction we're in the midst of, I think points to how this is a kind of approach that going forward we're really going to have to take as a country in general.
But you do see now, you see people who didn't have work, people who are homeless, who require help, and not much is available for them right now.
Well, this is another thing that I think has come into public view through the pandemic. I think people knew about the level of homelessness, but at some level it failed to register. And I think the fact that we have large populations of people who are not able to sleep 6 feet apart from another person and don't have anywhere during the day to go to the bathroom, I think that through the last 6 weeks, this awful truth, which is a condemnation of our whole governance and society, this has registered itself in a new way on people in general. We see the good program that was introduced last week in the CBRM in order to get those temporary shelters up and running for people and get a set of at least a portable toilets around the CBRM for people that don't have a place to live. So this was a good initiative by the municipality. And I just think, in general, the scandal of homelessness has come more to the forefront during this pandemic, and it is to be hoped that when the dust settles and we move beyond the viral threat to our society, that we will all, as a society and a government, remember this is a solvable problem. It calls for investment, and it is our duty as a decent people to see that the investments that are needed are made.
Mr. Burrow, thanks for taking the time this morning to talk to us. Stay safe and healthy.
Well, you too. That's my privilege. Nice to hear your voice.
All right. Thanks very much again.
Right.
Gary Burrow is the leader of the provincial NDP.